And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, but the bigger question is, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great this morning.
Good.
Rested. Recovered. Good to go.
The listeners are concerned about you.
Well, I'm alive.
Good.
Step one.
There you go.
Step one this morning. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Great to have you back, Robbie.
Thank you. Good to be back.
It's Friday, guys. Thank God.
It is Friday.
This is a long week.
It's been a week. No question about that. Got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll get to the Predators. An impressive call by Logan on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, who, before the show even started, texting in to fire John Hines. So that may be a record on the text line before the show even begins.
A pre-6 a.m. firing.
Okay. On the text line. We'll get to the Predators coming up here in just a few minutes. I do want to start with the video of Rand Carthon arriving yesterday, getting off the plane, going in the Titans facility. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed seeing it.
He walked into the building.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We'll hear from Rand Carthon a little bit later today. From the Tennessee Titans, but looking forward to that. But it was pretty cool.
A little weird, wasn't it?
I mean, there's a lot of people in there just clapping.
What do you think happened when the video camera shut off? It's like, okay, everybody, go back to your cubicles.
Well, yeah, like I kept waiting because it's like, is there a speech coming? What's going on here?
What I want to know is, where was Vrabel? Yeah. Was Vrabel the one who opened the door for him? Like, where's Vrabel in the middle of?
Didn't
you think Vrabel looked at this stuff like, well, are we clapping for a GM? God,
hey guys, I'll be over here in my office. Y'all have fun clapping.
Yeah, exactly.
Got some work to do.
He had cookies for him in his office. That's where he was.
Maybe it's been determined that Rand Carthon has final say, and Rabel's like, you know what? I'm just going to be over here.
You are totally in charge. Would you like to fire the head coach? Up to you, Rand. Come on, give everybody a hug and fire the head coach. That was cool, but I was like, I can't remember anything like that.
I had not seen much like that before either. They also put out the phone call that Amy Adams Strunk made to Rand Carthon.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah.
And basically, I guess he didn't answer the phone the first time she called. And he was like, yeah, I was on the phone with my brother, and I saw a number from Houston, and I thought, like, could it be? But I also didn't want to get on the phone with somebody that I didn't want to talk to. So didn't answer the phone. I was like, well, if that doesn't sum up me, like if somebody calls my phone and I don't know the number, I'm not answering the phone.
Me
like,
either.
It will not happen.
No, me either. Absolutely. Yeah, if you get some random Houston number, there's another one of those whatever calls.
My life philosophy is if it's that important, you can leave a voicemail. I'll get back to you.
So is that what happened? She leave a voicemail?
I don't know. I guess she just kept calling. I have no idea.
Okay.
So, hey.
That's why you send a text first. Send a text first.
The voicemail's like, hey, I want to offer you the GM job. He's like, oh, my gosh.
Give me a call back at your earliest convenience. We'll be here. Good stuff.
I'll have to check that out. I miss that.
We'll hear from Rand Carthon a little bit later today over at the Titans facility. The Nashville Predators in action last night, and they fall 5-2 at the hands of the St. Louis Blues. Their lone road game of the week. And the next couple of weeks here before the All-Star break, go on the road to St. Louis, where they went a few weeks ago and got beat 1-0 in overtime in a slop fest of a game that did not consist of much offense. And then you go back on the road to St. Louis last night, and another loss for you. Didn't even get to overtime this time. 5-2 loss for the Predators, where it looked like they had the first goal of the game on a play where Tanner Janot drove the puck to the net. Tommy Novak cleaned it up, and then that was pretty much immediately reviewed. Jordan Binnington was pretty quick to yell about that one for goaltender interference. Was taken off the board, and then St. Louis ends up scoring the first goal, and I just thought the Predators, not much going on last night. And really, on Tuesday, even though they won the game against Columbus, I didn't think they were very good.
Not playing very well.
Not playing very well. Like, the last couple of games, not been much going on out there for the Predators.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
Well, I guess the good news is, for one of them, you at least got the win. So, beyond the way that you're playing, just at least the result worked out for you. So, right now, you're still looking at a week where you've won two, you've lost one, and you got a big one coming up on Saturday. You win Saturday, then it's 3 out of 4, and you'll take it. But I don't really understand how and why this team can't seem to get any traction in terms of the way that they're playing the game. Like, for a while, a couple of weeks ago, they had built their game up when they went on a four-game winning streak, where it's like, all right, well, they're playing well offensively. Obviously, Saros is playing well, and they're doing enough in the offensive zone and on the power play to look dangerous at times. Forsberg was looking good, and you felt maybe good about the direction they were heading. I thought they were bad on Tuesday against Columbus, and Lankinen saved their bacon. And last night, I mean, just some of the plays that St. Louis was able to make, like, what's going on out there? It's weird how there's just not traction that you're able to generate here if you're the Predators.
Yeah, and just John Hines, you know, watching his pressers after both games, you know, I feel like there's some frustration showing with him too.
Agreed.
Overall, last night he was, you know, very pointed about the power play the other night.
Yep.
But he seems to be frustrated. So there are a lot of players in this team right now who are paid a lot of money who they're just having subpar seasons.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. And we talk about guys like Johansson and Duchesne all the time because of the money that they make. And I think we need to be talking about those guys because they got to be better. The one guy that I watch on a nightly basis and I'm just like, man, I'm just not seeing it. Like Granlund, he's not been very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, the numbers are okay. He's got 25 points in 45 games. He's never been like a huge volume goal scorer, but he's only got 4 goals. And it just doesn't really feel like he's having much of an impact on the game out there most nights. Now, not every night. I mean, he's had some nights where he's played well, but like too many times you watch Granlund and you're like, there's nothing from Mikael Granlund out there tonight.
He seems more like Granlund under Laviolette.
Yeah.
After they got him, which was, you know, obviously very, you know, underwhelming early on. You know, like, you know, I think about like the 18-19 season where, you know, he didn't do a lot. He has had, I mean, you know, last year you're talking about a 64-point season, you know?
Yeah.
Along with a lot of other guys. He was kind of an under the radar because of what Duchesne and Forsberg and Josi were doing. But he was a key cog. And, yeah, it's just I don't think his impact is nearly what it's been. And I know that this is, you know, a highly limited stat, but minus 13 is not great.
No. Well, he doesn't have a point in his last 8 games. He's not scored a goal since December 2nd. Now, again, he's never been a high-volume goal scorer, but you're talking about almost 2 months since he scored a goal and no points in his last 8 games. For a guy that's in your top 6, like you can't do that. And it's, again, we talk about Johansson, and he's got to be better. But, like, I feel like this is Groundhog Day with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne and those guys. Like, yeah, they've got to be better. They were good last year, and it's not been good enough this year. Granlund, he's the one guy to me where, like, I start to look at the trade deadline, and depending on which way you want to go, like, would somebody take it? Like, because I don't think – somebody asked me the other day about Johansson moving on from a deadline. I was like, nobody's going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are the – so are there 2 years for him after this year? Is that right?
For Granlund?
No, for Johansson.
For Johansson, I think 2 more after this
year. 2 more years on his deal after this?
Yeah. Like, nobody's taking
that
contract.
I think, like, if he were playing better and they were in the same spot or worse, I could see someone looking at Johansson, depending on the team, and being like, okay – you think about him still, you know, he's still got some life left in his legs and he's a big, strong center who's done some good things. Wow, that could make a difference for us. But that is a big number still for 2 years after this year.
Especially with how limited the cap space is around the league right now. I mean, it's
not many teams have the flexibility to even think about it.
Well, that's what makes this not only the deadline coming up hard, because, again, I've said it seems like it's forever away on March 3rd. It's really not that far away. When you look at the actual schedule of games that have to be played, it makes the deadline hard because how many big moves can you really make? Nobody really has cap space out there. But it also makes your direction harder too, like projecting forward, because you still have, you know, which way are you going to go? Are you going to be stuck in the middle here? And going back to like the big picture conversation we have about the Predators all the time, like I hear from people that say, we want to tear it down and rebuild, which, believe me, I understand. But how do you do it right now with the roster and the contracts that they have set in stone here? I mean, it's just a really difficult time if you're a general manager in the league to move around bad contracts, because everybody is so up against it cap-wise that it's hard to do if you're out there.
Buy people out?
I mean, you could.
You did it once.
Still paying Kyle Turris.
You're still paying Kyle Turris to not play for you.
That'd be a tough pill to swallow.
To buy anybody out?
To buy anybody out.
Yeah, but I mean it's like if you were actually going into an actual some level of rebuild, whatever it is, you know, you buy one, it probably would be just like one player, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, then you'd still do open up room with that. You go young, you give more young guys an opportunity. I don't know, maybe at some point, somehow in the world, Philip Tomasino could get an opportunity with the Nashville Predators. Mm. Who knows? Some year, someday.
Well, you know, I'm in wait-and-see mode with that one now. I've been saying for half the season at this point, yeah, it should be pretty soon. Bring him up. I mean, he's playing pretty well down there in, what are we, game 44, game 45?
Like, I'm automatically opposed. Like, maybe people yell at, like people, like the Swaters, like you. That's Jeff Swaim haters, by the way, people didn't know. The Swaters. It's like Cole Smith is the same
nicknames
thing.
Nicknames left and right.
Yeah. What's that?
Said nicknames left and right from
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And I don't know what the Cole Smith haters would be, but I feel like they're the same, kind of like the same idea. But I got to say, like, I would rather have Philip Tomasino in my lineup than Cole Smith. Yeah. I understand, like, well, but top six, though. He's got to be ready to be in a top six role. Okay, then put him in a top six role.
Yeah.
I think there's, you know, there's opportunity here for people to get in there.
Yeah, like,
and
we're acting like the Predators' top six
loaded.
Is just, oh, there's no way you could put him in there right now because they're just lighting it up left and right. No, you could put him in the top six, I promise. You could.
So maybe it'll happen soon. I mean, like last time we asked Poyle, I mean, he sounded like he was kind of eager to have him up here, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Hey, real quick on the cap isn't real. Whoever just said that, that is Jared talking about the NFL. No, Jared does not say that about the NHL because the NHL is a hard cap.
Yes, but it is in the sarcasm font on the text line, which I enjoy.
Yes, I like that.
Very well done.
I like
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators. A loss last night in St. Louis, still below the playoff line in the Western Conference, and losing to somebody in your division last night that's right there with you in the standings. What do you make of the Predators and where they go from here and the way that they're playing right now? We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Preds fall last night 5-2 at the hands of the St. Louis Blues. Joel in Whitehouse on the text line says, "The Predators stress me out. The frustration comes from expecting them to be better. The sum of the parts falls way short of the individual talent. I'd be okay if they played hard and fast and just lost playing exciting hockey, but the self-inflicted wounds this team does night after night is so frustrating to watch. That falls on Hines." This from Joel in Whitehouse. On the text line, Matt says, "For all the talk of how this was a must-win game, they certainly showed what they are without a Vezina-caliber performance. It's beyond frustrating at this point. And knowing the team won't make real changes makes it feel hopeless. Nothing will change with David Poyle at the helm." This is from Matt on the text line. Everybody under fire.
Got
so
Hines and Poyle involved. And, hey, they are running this show. And it's, you know, it's been about a year probably, just about a year since the Preds looked like a really good hockey team on a consistent basis. And I understand within that year there's an off season, but I'm just saying.
Almost on the dot.
Yeah, it's right around. It was right around this time that they started, because I would say as of this time a year ago, it had been about a year of good hockey, which was to somehow come back from the brink of getting blown up, which I don't know if you heard Jared and Adam Vingan had a Preds caucus yesterday, but it was actually quite enjoyable. Yes. Now and then Jared and Hal Gill, which was actually pretty funny. Like, because it really is like, it's Jared, like, everything sucks. It's all the worst. And then Hal's like, oh, no, this is pretty good. And what about this? And I mean, it is. It's a fantastic oil and water analysis of the Preds there. But anyway, why did I bring up the Preds caucus? Something about my point relates to the Preds caucus. Jeez. Regardless, they're just, yeah, that no, the point was that Jared brought up, and I agree with him, like, they were very close. Like, the worst thing that happened to this team was that run at the end of 21 to get in the playoffs. And then they give the Hurricanes a good series because it wasn't just Saros. I mean, Duchesne came alive in that series.
He did.
But that whole thing leading into about a year ago was like, wow, they actually have found something. And I mean, we're talking now a long stretch of they just totally faded. Barely got in. Yeah, Saros got hurt, but they were fading way before he got hurt. And it just hasn't been – it's been a lot more to me like the – well, kind of like maybe like the 2018-19 season, 19-20 seasons where you're just like, there should be more there. Yeah, the sum of the parts is a good way to put it. Like, they have too much talent to be this underwhelming, but – they also, like, their best players are just not great players.
Well, we're 45, to your point, we're 45 games in, and it's just basically the same thing that it's been all year. It's been different runs, right? I mean, they started off, you know, Jeremy K. Gover joined me on Preds Insiders the other day and had a pretty good breakdown of it. Very rarely have they had stretches of hockey this year where it's just been like, alternating wins and losses. It's usually just been like, well, they'll win three or four in a row, then they'll lose three or four in a row, or they'll go and they'll win the first two in Europe, and they'll come back and they'll lose six in a row or whatever it was back from home. It's just like, it's just stuck in the mud. It's one step forward, one step back so far this year. And again, to your point, we're 45 games into this season, but beyond that, it's dating back to the playoff series last year. It's dating back to basically the second half of last season where they just haven't been very good. And that's a pretty large sample size at this point. And I know the team's different. Like, they've added some different guys. You know, Niederreiter's here now. McDonough's here now. You know, I do think those guys have made positive impacts. I think Kevin Lankinen has been well beyond what I thought he would be as the backup goaltender here. So it's not like they haven't made some good moves here. But the larger picture, the entire body of the work, has been basically the same for like the last calendar year, to your point. And what does that mean? I mean, it kind of tells me that I don't know that they're going to just magically snap out of it coming down the stretch here. I'm not saying they can't make the playoffs because they're – what? I mean, they're 3 points out right now, the playoffs. So it's not like they've got some uphill climb that's just insurmountable. The point of this year was to not only get in the playoffs, but see if you could do something when you got there. And I don't know, beyond UC Saros just absolutely stealing it, which he could, but beyond that happening, like I don't know, based on the way that they've played, how you could feel like this team is a legitimate threat to really do anything in the playoffs right now. And they may not even get there.
Yeah. So is it bad? Is it bad for the future of the Preds if they make the playoffs?
Well, see, I don't know how to answer that, because even if they don't make the playoffs this year, let's say they finish 3-4 points out of a playoff spot, do you expect them next year to, like, blow it up?
I don't know. I think there's more of a chance. I mean, I think there's more. Well, it's like we've been talking about, blow it up, so what do you do? How do you
That's
do
the
it?
Thing.
Right. But I guess it's, well, first of all, for people who do want a different direction, that makes it more likely.
Yeah.
But even if you do that, you're going to have the same challenges. You're going to have the same contracts and all that stuff.
Well, I just.
In the same league with a cap that's not really doing what you'd like it to do.
It's just they're in a really interesting spot. And I always struggle with this to some degree, because I don't know how much of the fan base we hear from when things aren't going well
is a representation of the entire fan base or if it's just the ones that are mad. There are a whole lot of Preds fans mad right now. I mean, a lot that I hear from. And it's pretty much universally the same thing. Yes, it's a lot of yelling about Hines and Poyle, and you're going to get that. But the overall body of work is like we are so tired of being in the middle, which is good enough to make the playoffs, especially when you got a goaltender like you've got right now, but not really good enough to do anything once you get there. And I realize that some people will make the argument the other way of, well, you better be careful what you wish for because you could go into a downward spiral for a while that's tough to get out of. And I get that.
Yeah.
That's a danger. But I feel like the Predators fans that we hear from the most, I would describe as frustrated right now. And basically, it's not new. Like, they've been frustrated the whole year.
I honestly don't think it's just like a vocal minority. I really don't. I mean, there's plenty of people who still show up who are season ticket holders. I mean, I know a lot of Preds. Take it away from Twitter. Take it away from the text line. People who call us. We love all of you. Well, we don't love all you on Twitter, but you know what I'm saying. But take it away from that. Just like people I know in day-to-day life who still like support the team, go and stuff like that. I mean, I think I'd have a hard time finding someone saying, man, this is really going well. I love the direction. Yeah. This looks good. I mean, first of all, of course, you change expectations with the run and the runs and the really good teams of a few years ago. So that's one thing that just happens. It's like Titans fans who are like, playoffs, puh, AFC South, get out of here. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that was something you did all the time. But, I mean, it's different situations, of course. Now, I think at this point, it's like these little teases and just enough to kind of keep this going and, you know, make the playoffs every year. I'm sorry, man. Making the playoffs every year in the NHL, it's certainly better than not, but let's not treat it like it's some massive achievement.
Well, half the league makes playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, that also means half the league doesn't. But there's some good high school math for you right
some
there.
6 a.m. math yeah. for you. Very good.
Well, I was joking about this earlier, but, you know, look, I'm a hockey guy. I can talk hockey all day long if you need me to. And I was kind of joking earlier, like I'm almost running out of things to say about this team just because it's just been the same thing all year. They'll go on a run where it's like, all right, well, it looks like they're maybe starting to figure some things out here. And then you watch them play the last two times out and you're like, well, what is that? Who are these guys? And when you do that long enough, isn't that just kind of what you are? Some nights you look okay. Your goaltending, I think, masks a lot, especially when UC Saros has played the way that he's played lately. And to a point we got on the text line earlier, when he's not at the top of his game, which he wasn't last night, you get exposed a little bit.
Yeah, and I felt, I mean, at first that one goal, the goal that went up 2-1? Yeah, at first I was like, my gosh, you can't give that one up. But I do think that hit off McDonough's stick, though,
I think
right?
so, yeah.
But still, yeah, like he's got to be unbelievable for you to have a chance to win a game against any kind of team. And again, and sometimes they've got to be unbelievable against bad teams to win those games. I think it's a majority of the fan base, absolutely, they're disillusioned and want something to change. You know, Jared, speaking of Jared and the Preds caucus, which it was enjoyable.
The more we can use the word caucus on the program, the better off we're going to be. I like it.
You know, his point with firing Hines, which he, like, how many times this year, like, has he, like, oh, are they firing Hines today? I don't think so, Jared, but. You could keep putting out your hope chest or whatever. But his point with that is, you know, it's like a possible jolt for a team. And that does happen in the NHL.
Oh, it does.
So I don't know. I mean, is that – like his the way he looks at it is like it's their last card to play. That's what he said. Like nothing else there. They are what they are, but maybe you get a kick in the pants if you fire the coach. Would that change anything significantly?
I mean, I don't know, to answer your question. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, it's –
in St. Louis, it seems to work.
I mean, it's
at times
you can point to a lot of different examples where it's worked. I mean, heck, I could think of two or three off the top of my head where not only has it worked, they've won a cup in
which
the
is
same
so
year.
Weird.
The last like 15 years. So,
yeah. Well, St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis has won. Pittsburgh's done it twice with two different coaches. So, I mean. It's not like – I'm not saying that if you fire John Hines, like you're going to go win the cup.
Now all of a sudden they're all going to just start playing great.
The NHL is weird where sometimes that does work. And we've talked about this. The NHL, I mean, they fire the coach more than just about any league
in
the world.
It is the highest rate.
So, again, I don't expect that to happen. I'm not even convinced that that's what they should do at this point. I just know that they are totally stuck right now, and they've been totally stuck in the mud right in the middle for about a calendar year, and it's not a great spot to be in. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. We'll also look ahead to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs coming up next as well. All that coming up and all of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yep, speaking of the divisional playoffs, you can bet them with FanDuel, where every play is a rush. This weekend, FanDuel giving customers a no-sweat same-game parlay during the divisional round. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or if you have an account, you're going to get free bets back if your NFL playoff same-game parlay doesn't hit. If you don't know what those are, same-game parlay is that you combine favorite bets for a chance at a bigger payday. If I was looking at a same-game parlay this week, well, let's stick with the AFC South. Jags-Chiefs, look, I like the Chiefs. I hope it's a good game. I don't think it's going to be a good game. I like Patrick Mahomes over on the passing yards, and I like the over on this game. I do think the Jags will score some points. I just don't think they're going to stop the Chiefs at all. You do whatever you want to do, and you can also ride with thousands of other fans about bet popular same-game parlays that are already made for you. If you're new, sign up promo code Joe102. See for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook. And if you already have it, start now. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum dollar bet required. Refund issued is now withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund, $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Taking your thoughts right now on the Preds. We'll look ahead to NFL Divisional Weekend coming up here in just a few minutes. Mark on the text line says, look, I hate to say it, but Joe just said it. We have talent, but they are pieces. Other than Yossi, who's a D-man, and you can't count on to be a McDavid, McKinnon, etc. We have good role complementary players. That's who we are. Not necessarily Hines' fault. Not one team walks in saying, holy crap, the Preds' talent is overwhelming. They are who they are. This is from Mark on the text line. And I do think there's something to that. Like, I mean, obviously, there's no Connor McDavid walking around out there. So we know that from the Predators. Now, having said that, they do have Philip Forsberg. They do have Ekholm and McDonough and Yossi and Saros. Like, they've got enough talent, in my opinion, to be better than they are right now. I mean, I don't think that there's any question. I'm not saying that they've got enough talent to be a Stanley Cup contender or anything like that, because I don't believe that. But they have enough talent and should be better than they are right now.
Yeah, they have enough talent to not be on the outside of the playoff picture right now.
Yes.
So, you know, this year, if they do get in and they get smoked, one thing they cannot say after that is, no one picked us, because basically everybody picked them to go to the playoffs this year.
Yes.
I mean, they added to the team. I mean, a big part of this year is that the production has fallen off, and way off in too many cases with too many of these guys who are getting top salaries. Matt says, my 8-year-old son has been asking me to take him to a Predators game. Seems like a great time to teach him about disappointment in life. Wow, man.
Jeez.
There's a downer. And then there's a bunch of symbols and numbers on your text, but that's okay.
There is a lot of those.
I won't read all those.
I got another Matt, different Matt, on the text line says, what do you guys think it would take for them to acknowledge how bad things are and to bring up someone like Carl Taylor? So you stay in your organization, but you're making some sort of change. I don't know. I mean, right now, they're, like it or not, they're in the mix for a playoff spot. So I could be wrong. I hesitate to say they're not going to do something because of I learned my lesson with John Robinson, just to, I guess, leave an open mind as they move forward here. But I guess I just don't see it happening right now when they're in a playoff spot to move on. And honestly, look, I get the intrigue with Carl Taylor. I really do. I think he's a good coach. I think one day he will be an NHL head coach. To me, though, like, I'd go hire somebody outside of the organization. That's just me.
Well, so Vingan said this is what he would do. Basically, if they – I think he said, like, if they don't win any games until the All-Star break, he would bring up Carl Taylor for the rest of the year. So it's like – so it, not as a as the permanent replacement. If you're Carl Taylor, I guess you could do that and then just go back to Milwaukee? Is that I guess. Do teams do that? Have teams done that? Where they bring up their AHL coach and then they go back and search for a coach?
It's probably happened. But
I can't remember an example.
I don't remember an example of it.
But hey, Vingan's cutting edge, man. As he showed in the Preds caucus.
Well, I mean, look, they've got LA tomorrow, Winnipeg next week, and New Jersey. So all of them are at home, but those are three pretty good teams. Like, all three of those teams are ahead of you in the standings. So, I mean, if they lose all three of those, you're going to be in a bad spot at the All-Star break.
Yeah, and then you're going to be stewing, and everybody's going to be stewing at the All-Star break. Joel in Whitehouse says, it's no longer fun to watch this Predators team. My trust in this entire franchise is broken. It's a poorly coached team, a roster full of bloated and underperforming contracts. If you refuse to acknowledge the ship is sinking, I beg ownership to make changes in leadership. I'm afraid they won't until the sale is complete, and also afraid too many fans will not be left by then. That was a downer. Well, but I think you hit on all the key points, Joel.
I think you did, Joel. Liam on the text line says, why do players come here and get worse and leave here and get better? I mean, that's – you can point to a few examples where that has happened. Now, you can also point to some where that has not happened, by the way. I mean
– exactly.
It's not like it's some universal trend that when people leave the Predators, they just all of a sudden blossom. Now, you've got Kevin Fiala, who you'll see – tomorrow night, who has turned into an NHL All-Star.
But, yeah, but Fiala, that's different than, like, Tolvin.
It is different than Tolvin. Like,
we knew he was good here. He was having a bad year when they traded him, but we knew he was good.
We knew he was good, and I remember, I mean, I specifically remember the day they traded him. David Poile had a press conference at Bridgestone Arena, like, 3 hours after it happened. And he said, yeah, they'll probably regret this one day just because of the player that he'll end up being. But at the time, it made sense for Grantland. Now, Tolvanen, it's not looking good right now for the Predators. He continues to go and score for Seattle. So we'll see how long that continues. But I understand the frustration of, especially, like, that's the most recent example we have, right, is Elie Tolvanen. So you watch him go off and he's scoring left and right for another team, and you're like, well, he's sitting right there for you. Why couldn't y'all figure this out?
Yeah. No, yeah, we'll see. We're going to see how that plays. If, I mean, it's just still early to me. And this reminds me, I'm actually still engaged in a big fight with someone on my mailbag this week at the Athletic about the whole system argument, you know. And he's like throwing at me, like, what I said was, okay, I want you to tell me the ordinary player in this league who system made great, or the great player, great talent in this league who was held back from that by system.
Yep.
And he brings up, like, Slava Kozlov of the Red Wings. I'm like, maybe his production had something to do with, like, Fedorov, Shanahan, Yzerman, et cetera, on his team. I don't know. Larionov, maybe. I don't know. You know.
You saying that team was good?
They were kind of good.
Okay.
But, like, if you want to talk about players going elsewhere, yeah, I guess Vegas is looking at Cody Glass and be like, wow, Cody Glass can play, huh?
Yeah.
Why does he go to Nashville and he can play? I mean, sometimes people get healthy, or I do think we see a lot of times when a player gets a change of scenery, there's a bump. It's kind of like we were just talking about the fire the coach, you get a bump. Change of scenery if you're a player who's struggling, get a bump. We'll see. I think we saw plenty of Tolvanen. And by the way, he struggled. I know he was younger then, but, I mean, the Laviolette system did not benefit him either early in his career.
Look, I'm not saying that system at times has nothing to do with it, because it does. I mean, the system is important. Now, if you ask David Poile talked to us about this 2 weeks ago. If you ask him, if you ask most coaches around the league, there's not a ton of difference with the systems that people run. I mean, hockey, yes, there's structure, and yes, there are systems, and all that's important. A lot of hockey is also just reading and reacting. Like, that's basically what the sport is reading and reacting. Now, one thing that I would say that is important is usage and opportunity. Like, that's different to me than system.
And preference of type of player. That's where I think you can look at Hines and say, why don't you like more players with skill in your lineup?
Exactly. Like, at some point, and look, I realize
Look, Cole Smith specifically is in the crosshairs of Preds fans, and I get it. He's not scored a goal all year. I mean, honestly, you take a look at the games that he's played without scoring a goal, he is climbing up an impressive list of people that have played a certain amount of games and have not scored goals here. So I get it. And lately he's been taking some penalties where you're just like, dude, what are you doing out there? So I understand it. I do think Cole Smith is a good penalty killer. I think he's a good checker. So I understand. I say all that to say I understand why the coaches like him.
There's a place for that in a lineup.
I understand why the coaches like him. But I also understand if you're a Predators fan looking around and saying, all right, well, our offense is very inconsistent. We can't score unless Philip Forsberg's going nuts out there. And you got Philip Tomasino in Milwaukee and Cole Smith's playing every night. What in the world are you doing? Like, I get it. And look, this is not me playing revisionist history. The day that they sent him down to Milwaukee, we had a conversation of what are they doing? Like, why are they sending him down to Milwaukee? And
that was 3 months ago.
Look, it may end up being the right thing. Like, he may go down there, and by the next time he comes up, he may turn into a 65-point player. I have no idea. It could be the right thing for his development. It's harder and harder for me to sell all that.
Yeah, you never know. It's funny because I remember going back to that, the day that they did him, I wrote a column in The Athletic about two examples of how it looks like maybe it has worked. One of those examples was Cody Glass. You know, it was like, you just got to humble pie, go down there and figure it out and come back. And it has worked out, finally, right? The other example is Elli Tolvanen. So, I know. And obviously, like, again, I watching Tolvanen here, I can't sit here and say, man, that's a special talent they just mismanaged. I don't think that's true, but it does fuel it fuels it when he goes somewhere else and is scoring goals left and right. And I do think that maybe there's a little bit too reliance on, quote unquote, being hard to play against here.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I mean, this league is, it's a high scoring league this year in particular. I think skill is still, at some point, like, it has to rise to the top for you, right? Especially if you, as you said, are struggling offensively.
Well, it almost makes you wonder, like, have you gone too far the other way, right? Because think about when Hines was hired. They were soft. I mean, they were beyond soft.
Yes.
And getting pushed around and all these different things. And that was during the first part of his coaching tenure, both physically but also, like, mentally. That was something he had to fix. And you had to fix kind of the way that they played. And I think he did that. Now, have you gone too far the other way where there's just not enough skill out there with you? It's not totally on Hines because you need some younger skill to come in and do that. But it's just a question I'm throwing out there.
Yeah, well, but then that's a good point because it was both ways. You know, weak, I'd say, you know. But also, are they mentally strong now?
I don't know.
They're very inconsistent, whatever that means.
There's no question about that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports. A little Friday edition this week. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text line. Your submission, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your thoughts, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, would you like to kick us off this week, as you do every week, with your best and worst things in sports? Do you think we'll ever reach the point where I ask you if you'd like to kick us off, or I'd just be like, hey, man, just kick us off.
Just go.
Just do it.
I'm just glad you let me go first because sometimes it's like there's an obvious one. And this may not be an obvious
Joe,
one.
Joe, you literally always go first for this.
Yeah, he goes first on this. You go first on Call Your Shot Friday. That's the way I operate.
Yeah, that's fair. And you go first all the time on Preds Pick to Click and Cheat.
Yes,
so it works out great for all of us.
Thank you very much.
All right, my best in sports. I'm going to keep both very local here. And my best of sports is that the Titans hired Rand Carthon as general manager. As I say this, I'm looking at this thing Michelle sent me. So this is on Insta, huh?
Oh, boy.
It's like this picture of Amy Adams Strunk smiling into her phone. So apparently, wait, so does she get him
That's
on FaceTime? Did she get him on FaceTime? Looks like she's looking at her screen. Like, is she
on speaker?
Yeah. The speaker, Joe.
Oh, just on speaker. Okay. Well, I'll have to check that out. There's a lot of stuff coming out for the Titans on this, but it's a good for a fan base that has sat there for 2 months with like nothing good happening. I guess unless you were really excited about the loss to Jacksonville, so you can get the number 11 pick. Congrats to you if that's the case. But really, nothing good happening for 2 months. So to get an exciting young general manager in here from, I think, arguably the best team-building situation in the NFL right now is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
So that's my best.
Nice.
My worst is a game I covered last weekend. You know, the Tennessee Vols, it's just such a downer. And congrats to your Wildcats. So I know there's
loving where this is going right now, right?
There's always a good, you know, there's always credit due to the opponent, and they do deserve credit, but just I have been watching this Tennessee Vols team this year and thinking, you know, this team's really good, man. Like, it's really good. And actually they bounce back and without two key players and big time gutty win at Mississippi State the other night. But
started rough.
It did start very rough. But the way – Zakai Ziegler is awesome. But the way that they played so poorly and so stupidly and so just tight and overwhelmed by the pressure and all that stuff, it absolutely gave me NCAA tournament flashbacks and also gave me NCAA tournament flash forwards to what may come. But we don't know what's going to happen until things happen.
And Kentucky won that game without two of their starting players.
Although, maybe you don't agree, but I most Kentucky fans I have interacted with are like, yeah, because Xavier Wheeler should never play again. Bah! So, I don't know.
I think Cason Wallace should be the point guard for most of the time. Xavier can come in, you know, here and there.
Oh, okay. You're fine with him coming in for a couple minutes. Yeah. Well, then you must not think it was a huge loss.
Get
right?
into a breather.
I mean, I think Kentucky fans think like they lucked out that he didn't play and they found something else, right? Or no?
No, I mean, Cason Wallace was hurt, so I was kind of like, I'd rather have somebody healthy in there.
Right. But no Wheeler. And they played better.
Sure. So
get him out.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Okay.
I'm not going that far. Okay. My best thing in sports, I'm going to go with the NBA. We haven't talked about this much, but.
Cal?
What?
No cow?
No.
What's going on here?
The Memphis Grizzlies, guys, they're on an 11-game win streak. They play the Lakers this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Ja Morant, I mean, we talked about him last year. He ended up getting hurt towards the end of the year. But, you know, they were on a run to make it to the Western Conference Finals. This team is so exciting, so fun to watch. I think this could be their year where they make a substantial run in the postseason. But... we don't talk about them much. Going to give Memphis some love. How can you not love watching Ja Morant? I don't know if you guys saw that dunk the other day. He dunks over like five people. Just insane. He could be like SportsCenter's top 1 through 10. So that's my best in sports. My worst in sports is, okay, so it's kind of just like a generic thing, but since the Tennessee Titans lost and aren't playing in the postseason, we have to expedite all of this offseason speculation and talk and what if. And, you know, if you see like some person like something on Instagram, those players are playing together. Or for instance, Tannehill and Randall Cobb are on vacation together. And I just, that's going to be the next thing. I already saw it last night. I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. Or he's going to Green Bay. Aaron's coming here. Like, sometimes, like, I get it if you have more context clues, but sometimes I'm just like, oh, gosh, my brain can't take this. How did you get from, like, XY to, like, EFGK, all crazy takes? Mm-hmm. So, we love our jobs in sports talk radio, but sometimes it's like, oh, gosh, where are we going with that one? So, that's my worst, and we have a lot of more months talking about postseason.
Buckle up.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Cobb and Bakhtiari were around here the other day.
Oh,
maybe
boy.
Just waiting for the
oh gosh, Robbie.
Waiting for Aaron to come down.
Cheesehead South.
You think Rogers got that a house built on that property yet?
I don't know. Jared, has he finished the extension on the house? Hot tub?
Well,
whatnot?
Well, Aaron does look up to
the
Tannehill.
The wine cellar?
He's gonna come learn from him here.
In the ayahuasca in the right. backyard.
Is that something you can like grow in your yard?
Yeah, I doubt it. I have no idea. All right, my best thing in sports,
I got two of them. Firstly, it's this weekend, divisional football weekend in the NFL. It's probably the best weekend of the year of NFL football. We were talking about it during the break. I'm into all four of these matchups too, along with you. I think it's going to be really good. For some reason, I'm like really excited about Cowboys and 49ers, even though, quite frankly, I don't like either one of those teams. But I'm very excited to watch that game coming up on Sunday. I think Giants and Eagles has a chance to be good. Bills, Bengals, I'm very excited for. I even think Chiefs, Jaguars has a chance to be good. I think there could be a lot of points scored in that game.
I'm into the game. I hope it's good.
I hope it's good, too. I hope it's good. But this weekend, very good stuff. So I'm excited about divisional football weekend. The other part of this, did you see the back and forth between Stan Van Gundy and Kevin Durant on Twitter the other day? It was awesome.
I missed this.
Well, it's basically Stan Van Gundy went on like a rant about injuries and performance staff and talked about like how in the 90s, it wasn't like the typical argument of, oh, they're just tougher in the 90s. It was like, well, in the 90s, you didn't miss a whole lot of games. Like, the numbers bear that out. And today, we got better training. You got better nutrition, all these different things, and the injuries are up. Like, why is this happening? And, like, went on this big, long rant about it, and Kevin Durant responded, Stan spitting.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which means, like, yeah, I agree with you. And Stan Van Gundy came back. He's like, no, I'm not criticizing the players. Like, I'm saying we got something wrong on how we prepare and train players. We can't do anything about injuries like yours. He fell on his leg, and all these groin hamstring injuries shouldn't be happening as much as they are. And Durant responded to him. He's like, Stan, I agree with you. It's all good, man.
He didn't get the lingo.
I found that to be hilarious. Yeah. I just thought that was funny.
Cross your fingers, Stan, and just you're spitting. Just cross your fingers, emoji, and just see if people can determine what the hell that is.
Yes. My worst thing in sports, Brett Maher, the Cowboys. Missing four extra points, man. He's got his job. He held on to his job. But let me just tell you, if and when the Cowboys score their first touchdown, going to be a lot of eyeballs on that extra point coming up on Sunday.
Well, they had a kicker in this week, but
they did.
Apparently in practice he was kicking his butt. Yeah. So I think he'll be the kicker again.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, John brings up the Alabama basketball player charged with murder. It, like my response is like, that's almost too heavy to even say it's like in sports. But, yeah, obviously awful situation for the victim and that whole thing. And, of course, they came up here and played. And actually, I thought Jerry Stackhouse had a really good – for anybody, if you missed it, kind of comments after the game, after they played at Vanderbilt, too. So,
yep.
Yes.
Absolutely. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. Lots of offensive coordinator openings around the league, more created yesterday. What does that mean for the Titans and their search for an offensive coordinator? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.